Welcome to the Doggone Truth podcast. If you need help breaking free of deceit to be empowered with the truth for the proactive health and well-being of your dog and yourself naturally, then you've come to the right place. I'm your host, animal naturopath, Dr. Kim Bloomer, where I don't whitewash. I just tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. It's natural, it's raw, it's the bone of my truth. Can you dig it? This is Dr. Kim, and I hope you enjoy.
Today I want to share with you a story about the two dogs that are now gracing my life, and really it's a story of what God has sent into my life as I've been talking a bit about both of them. This one is really how both of them pretty much came into and stayed in my life, how I nearly lost both of them, and they were found, and it showed me how lost I've been and how I'm found. And that song, Amazing Grace, I can't sing. The only one who would appreciate my singing are my dogs. I sing it, though, to the Lord every morning during my morning walk run with my dog, Shotzi. And to me, the Amazing Grace, just thinking about how I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind and now I see. I think about the second verse that's all about, it was grace that taught my heart to fear and grace that brought me home. It was grace that revealed the truth to me through that, so I could let go of the fear. You know, you have to see the sin and the law first before you can see the grace and the mercy and recognize that there is sin. So this story was one that God really, really used to drive that home for me. It was back in 2013 that we had gotten King, our American Bully, from my friend, as I had mentioned before. And we now have our girl Shotzi, who you've heard me mention as well, the Carolina dog, also known as an American Dingo. And they very much look like the Australian Dingoes. They are considered a native and wild breed in the United States. And who knows, maybe they've all come from the same line across the world where dingoes are, just like wolves and other wild canids. So she's more feral than any of the domestic dogs they ever had. So she came to teach me a whole lot, and what loyalty and what, she's amazing. That's all I got to say about that. But so is King in his own unique way. It's funny that he's an American bully. She's an American dingo. So I got these American breeds now. So we had been a single dog home for so many years. Now we're a two dog home. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't want it any other way. I was hoping way back then, we were waiting after losing Meshach, our Great Dane, of 15 months. Like I said, that's a difficult story for me to share. And it's also got very much a spiritual overtone to it, spiritual warfare involved with it, just like the spirit horse's dreams, the dream horses that I had mentioned on a previous show. One that I can share privately with people, but it's been something I haven't done publicly yet, especially because that's such a hush-hush topic even in the church, which is interesting. At any rate, I had been promised another puppy, even though they had gifted me Meshach. They still wanted to give me another puppy, not to replace him, but it was just, they felt the right thing to do. And so I was waiting on a Great Dane puppy when we got King in February of 2013. And this was now June of 2013. And this is the story of what evolved on one day, on a particular day, on a Saturday, on a Sabbath day of rest. And yes, I am a Sabbath Saturday keeper, not a religion. That's the day I rest. This day was really, it was bizarre. I'll just share that with you. The interesting thing is right at this time, the day before this, the Great Dane puppies were all born as well. So I was thinking I was going to be a three-dog home. Things didn't quite work out this way, but just join me on this little journey and see where we go with this. Like I said, we got King back in February of that year, and about a month after we got him, this really beautiful dog showed up in our area, and we live in very high desert, lots of natural flora and fauna around us. A lot of our neighbors have horse fencing, and then we have like cinder block walls over the inner part of a yard where we can all decorate accordingly, which I do in Southwestern still, and then this other's just left to its natural devices. It takes over. Anyway, and I digress. Anyway, she showed up, and I saw at first this beautiful dog. I saw her, and I went, wow. And I was wondering why King was barking and going so crazy, and the neighborhood dogs were. And I saw her, and she started running fence with King back and forth. And so I went out to see about all the racket, because he was barking at her and woofing at her the whole time, tail up and so forth. And she saw me and came up kind of shyly to the fence and stuck her nose to the fence, and I pet her. And she was so sweet and friendly, and I was talking to her, and my husband and I tried to go out and catch her because we saw she had a collar on with tags, and she took off. She was busy. She was on some kind of mission, and I know what that mission was now. Then I didn't. And then she started showing showing up after that maybe a couple of times a month. And if we ever tried to go out after her to get her, she was off, gone in a flash. And she would run off any dog that came near her if it was a female. She didn't like certain dogs. One morning, we had gone for a short walk run with King into a different arroyo than we normally go or normally take. And Donnie would walk home then, and I would run home with King. So we were way ahead of him. And when I hit our road, and we have dirt roads, I was way ahead of Donnie. And when I got to our road, I saw what I thought at first glance was a coyote that we were about to encounter. But as we drew closer and I was cautious, I realized because it wasn't leaving or slinking into the fields around us, which is what they'll do. They won't let you get up to them. I saw it was the same beautiful dog. She didn't run. Actually ran right up to us and put herself into a play bout with my dog, King. And he was just so thrilled. He loves every dog and person that he meets. And he just was eager to re-engage with her. He was on lead. So what I did was I looked at her and I said, well, I'm going to go get Donnie. We're going to go back and get Donnie. When she came up to me, I pet her. And that's when I noticed, as beautiful she was, her coat was really, really brittle and dry and dirty. And then I immediately felt bad for her. I let the two of them play as I kept King on lead. And then we walked back to my husband. We walked home. And of course, his first instinct always, always, always is to give real good water, which we use. We drink alkaline water. We raw feed. I'm an animal naturopath, so that ought to make sense to anybody listening that I'm going to advocate for raw feeding because they are carnivores. So I feed any animal that's in my home according to their species need. You can learn more about that on our other podcast, Animal Talk Naturally. We fed her and she had no problem eating the raw and was right to it as the carnivore she is. In fact, I know that's what she was out doing, was hunting. She was poorly, like I said. So this went on for about a week. She'd come in the morning when we were coming back or when we were going for our walk, and she'd go with us and then she'd leave and she'd come back and this was going on for about a week, and we would feed her and we'd give her water and she'd stay for hours. And eventually one day she stayed all day and into the evening. It was horrible heat this particular summer. It was just so hot, unrelenting that summer. I couldn't stand to see her out in that intense heat. I even have a picture of her on my blog where she's looking at me through my fence and looking at me like, can I come? She's in the shade, but she goes like, can I come in? I could see her clearly asking me, can I come in with you guys? There had been no rain for all spring and summer to date at that time. It was an extreme drought and very hot. So she was just laying out there. She didn't even want to go back home. And when we finally got close to her, we were able to look at her tags. Donnie had looked at them and didn't have his reading glasses on, so he had read them wrong. So the vet clinic that was on the tags didn't have her listed or didn't recognize her until I looked at the tags and got the number right. And he called the vet clinic and we just what her name was. And she lived very close by. So we called her owners and told them she was coming over daily, and they said, well, they didn't want to chain her and it's against the law in our city to do so. And they would need to find a way to secure their yard. And I personally think after we've looked at their yard now, we believe that meant having to pay and raise their wall, the inside wall, and to change their gate because she was getting over on the gate. So anyway, she would come here and they would call and see if she was here, and that would be that almost daily. Finally, around the 24th of that month, we opened our side gate as my husband and my brother were bringing in some bit of decorator rock, and we had fed her and given her water. And we don't have grass because we live in the desert, so we let her come into the yard. We were keeping her and King apart still at this time because he's so over exuberant. I finally decided this time it was time to really get rid of some of that coat on her, and so I brushed out her coat. I took out a couple of pounds of very dry, brittle coat off her, but she really seemed to like it. It took me about an hour, and she and I bonded from that moment forward. I had noticed, too, that she had very, very bad teeth. They were getting cleaner and whiter every time she was being fed what we were feeding her. I did know that she needed a bath and a nail trim, but she wasn't our dog yet, so I didn't do that. I just brushed her. And I'll never forget the first time she laid eyes on our yard with all of our greenery. We have native plants, but they're very green out there and very beautiful. And it was like watching a little child get all excited over Disneyland because her yard was just dirt. She was so happy. She sniffed around and peed very alpha style on everything. And then she saw the dog futon, and she's very clear in her intention. So she looked at me to ask permission if she could get on it. She looked at me and I said, yeah, go ahead. And she immediately got on it and rolled and was all happy. And you would have thought she'd won the raw bone lottery, and she wiggled it all over and leaving all these clumps of fur behind that was still coming out of her. So we left the gate open so she could come and go as she pleased that day. And then she would leave for a bit and come back. Finally, on that night, we sadly put her out and locked the gate, but she stuck around until late evening. We could hear her tags jingling. She didn't show up the next morning to walk with us as she had then, and so we thought, well, they had found a way to secure her yard, and so we were sad, but we were happy she was secure. But not long after our breakfast and showers and all of that, she showed up, and King was very happy to see her. At this point, we were letting them hang out together, and he was just as happy to see her as she was to us. We let her into the yard and let them play together, and she went right to the futon, and she never left. Even though we left the gate open all day, she never left, and she slept on the patio and on the futon for 2 nights, even though it was so hot. So what I was doing was just hosing her off to keep her cool. And finally, by Thursday, that had been Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. By Thursday, I decided that's enough is enough. She's breathing so hard and she's struggling. I'm going to bathe her and bring her in. And that's what I did. And Wednesday night, we had heard from our owners and they'd gone out of town and left her with just a self-water and a feeder. And so they'd come back for her on Saturday. All right. My husband called and said, would you just let her stay with us? Would you just let us have her? And they said they'd think about it and they'd let us know on Saturday when they got back. Like I said, we bathed her and let her in, and she immediately came in and took over. I brushed her after the bathing and got a whole bunch more fur off, and she came right over and took over King's bed, much to his chagrin. And he was kind of sad, and she was taking over all his living room bed too, and he was pouting. I have a picture of him kind of pouting like, well, when she come in here and take over everything? And there was just no honeymoon. She didn't want no honeymoon. She had been taught, obviously, all the basic commands and everything, but I think she's just that intelligent of a dog. She's just so smart. Everything we taught her, I watch her observing, and she learns. She's amazing. There would be no turning back for any of us. We were committed. She had chosen us. She was going to stay, and Saturday morning, I'd already engaged a bunch of prayer warriors on my Facebook friends and personal friends that had started praying that she would become ours, and many of them were dog lovers, commented and were just as adamant and passionate that she stay with us as we were. And I have obviously a lot of great dog loving friends. Saturdays are at that time they were my day just to walk with the dogs alone. This particular day I went out with them and I thought, you know, Shotzi and King are really bonded already, and he always keeps his eyes on her. So in my wrong thinking, in my mind, I thought, well, maybe I'll let him off lead, which we never did, because he would take off. He would stay by her the minute I let him off lead. However, it was a horrible mistake and one that could have cost our little boy his life. He was gone. I could not see him, and he's very short, very vertically challenged, as I said, and even though he's black and white, he blended right into the flora and fauna. I mean, like he disappeared, and I was frantic. Shotzi stayed as close to me as though she were on lead, and she'll come immediately upon recall. I don't care if there's quail, rabbits, wildlife, nothing. She obeys. Like I said, 10 seconds and he was gone, even though I was running after him. I realized the minute I let him off it was a mistake, and yet I couldn't even see him. And he was just gone. So I called my husband. He had just gotten out of the shower. He didn't even finish drying, jumped into his clothes, jumped into our SUV, and was on his way to help me find him. In the meantime, I'm going all around. I walked all the way back home with Shotzi, thinking maybe he had come home. He hadn't. I encountered somebody and asked them to keep a lookout for him. Husband's looking in one place, I'm looking in another, and all I could think of was things like he could be hit by a car, he could be dog napped, he could be used as a bait dog. All these things were on my mind. So I was really, really beside myself with fear. And Shotzi would stay by my side. She was close. She was calm. She was alert. I just started praying. In that moment, I did a stupid thing. I need your help, Lord. And I mean, I really started praying. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, and this was a bargaining, kind of like a Gideon's bargain. If you will bring King back, I will never let him off lead again. And by the way, that was 3 years ago, and he's never been off lead again. And I discovered in that moment, because I'd struggled with him, as I'd mentioned on the previous show with the Bubba Tooth, that I loved him far more than I realized I did. I had been struggling in this whole relationship with him because of the Bubba Tooth attitude thing, and I would not doubt anything. I said I would love him with all my heart, all his days, and I would not doubt anything about my relationship with him ever again. I wanted my sweet little boy back. He's so precious. And at that time, he was just over a year old. I couldn't bear to lose him after losing Meshach, and I implored God on that count, and it makes me want to cry thinking about it, because he is so precious to me, and losing Meshach was so hard. And so I said to the Lord, I trust you. I'm the one who is wrong, and please don't let King pay for my bad judgment. And I remember from Scripture Jesus praying and thanking you, Lord, and he didn't beg. He trusted you, so I'm going to do likewise. And I was crying from fear and loss, and because I saw Donnie's face when he finally caught up to me in the car, and tears were just pouring down his face because he loves King with all his heart, because it's his little buddy. And so I felt like Donnie wouldn't forgive me. I had screwed up and lost this dog that he had bonded so with and loved so much. And I can't even begin begin to tell you, oh, I was wrong about so many things, I didn't even know where to begin. And within barely 2 minutes, literally 2 minutes of me praying that prayer, and I was heading back towards home again. I'd already gone back, as I said, and thinking maybe he'd found his way. But when I saw Donnie driving down our street, he honked at me, and I thought he wanted me to come to get in the car with him to go looking for him. So I kind of started across the field with this big, heavy heart, Chelsea by my side. But then Donnie got out of the car and started shouting that he had found King. And I sprinted through those sage and chamisa and all of that stuff. I sprinted to the car. I outran Chelsea, no joke. And Donnie said when King saw me, his little tail started wagging real fiercely. And I ran to the open window, and I gave him the biggest hug, and he gave me a big old kiss. I mean, it was best. I was so happy, with tears were just pouring down my face. And Chelsea and I walked a short distance home as Donnie drove on to the house of King. And I had a very, very happy reunion with King in our yard and in our backyard. We have chairs and beds and everything for the dogs out there, even a futon for them. And I had him in my lap. It was awesome. He was kissing me, and he was scared too. I knew he, because he couldn't find us. Donnie said that he was driving by the Arroyo, and by a very slight chance, by the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, happened to see King run along the ground sniffing his way home. He was going in the right direction. Donnie threw the car into park, ran down the hill, called him. King sort of hesitated, wouldn't come until he was sure who was calling, and then when he realized it was Donnie, he just came thundering to him, racing bull, like the bull he is, headlong into him with the tail that was wagging so fiercely. He jumped into Donnie's arms, nearly plowed him over. Typical bully exuberance, and Donnie was thrilled, and he carried him all the way back to the car, crying and hugging, and it was awesome. So we got home, and we cried and hugged, and I asked forgiveness, and all of that was happening, and I felt really forgiven and blessed, and so I sang praises to God all morning. And later that morning, I had Bible study and prayer with my friend, Carol, who owns my Meshach's brother, Woodstock, and then my best friend, Jeannie, and she's my business partner as well. And then we were going through this whole thing and praying, and so exciting, praying for Chelsea's owners to now release her to us. So when they heard of the saga with King, they would join me in praising God as well. So I had one dog lost and then found that day. After Bible study came the call I dreaded from Chelsea's owners. They said they wanted her back. And after nearly a week of her leaving her with us, they wanted her back. So my heart broke again into all these pieces. So I was sobbing and angry all at once and all over again for the second time that day. And I couldn't imagine letting her go back. But I had to. She wasn't our dog. And I thought, what is going on? First I lose Meshach tragically, Lord. Now I nearly lose King. And now Chelsea too. Why? What is the purpose? And what am I supposed to learn from that? Well, my very wise friend, Jeannie, said to me on the phone when I called her sobbing that I had to do the right thing. And she made some very wise suggestions on how to handle this and how it could all play out. And she prayed with me and asked God to soften the hearts of Chelsea's owners. And the interesting thing about all of this was that two more of my Christian friends, again, Carol, the one that owns Woody, and another friend, Jackie, both of them gave me the exact same advice that Jeannie had. And then another friend of mine, another animal lover friend of mine, gave me the same, almost the very same advice, although not quite as identical as the other three, but none of them knew what the others had suggested to me because they were all private messaging me on Facebook. None of them knew what the others were saying, so I knew this was from the Lord telling me how to handle this and attitude I needed to take with this. And so we did that. Donnie and I then prayed together, and he suggested to the husband on the phone that his wife call me after she got home from work and that she and I could have a chat so I could help her learn how to better care for Chelsea, giving her free advices from my profession, as well as explain the care I had been giving her in the interim. And then we set a time to talk that evening, and they would pick her up on Sunday at noon. I was going to offer play date, but she would leave Chelsea with us during the day, and they would pick her up when they got off work. Well, about 15 minutes before that Saturday evening call came, they called and said we could have her. I couldn't believe it. We'd been praying all day. We were looking at the clock as the evening wore on, and they just said it would be better for her to stay with us for a variety of reasons. And I personally didn't want to just leave those reasons out because they served no good. I could speculate and not know because they didn't tell us. They didn't tell us very much about her at all either. So we decided the best thing to do the right thing for Chelsea, that they did the right thing for Chelsea in our eyes, and we were thrilled that they did. And I really believe God just pressed them, the Holy Spirit pressed them to leave her with us. So another dog lost but then found, then the puppies were born. Sadly, I could not take the puppy. I was promised we were going to have three dogs, but I didn't take the one because I later broke my ankle. So, wow, what God took me down through that, what he taught me through that. So here's what I learned in this one day that I want to share with you. Forgiveness, it's a blessing. Give it as much as receive it. Love is the most important thing over anything this world has to offer, and blessings come in all sizes, shapes, likes and quantities, and friends. Human and animal are better any day and by a long shot than wealth, accolades, reputation, credentials will ever or could ever hope to be. And happiness and contentment are choices that reside in our hearts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23:7. And the best one of all, that God never leaves or forsakes us. He always answers our prayer regardless of our circumstances or how things might appear on the surface. It's the waiting on him. That is where the real blessings reside. And I just want you to know that these dogs continue to teach and bless me. And the puppy that was supposed to be ours, he ended up, we were going to name him Ezra from scripture, but his name is Tobias, and he's living a wonderful life with other Great Danes. He had three others, and now there's two others. One had just passed away recently. And the best dog mom extraordinaire. So God worked all things out for his good, for his glory, according to the purpose and plan for our lives. Those who are called according to his purpose and plan. I just wanted to encourage you in that and know that while we might be lost, we too can be found, just like these dogs. And he was showing me that through all of this. And I just have to say, I want to live in utter and wild abandonment by being in wild obedience to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Thank you for listening. And remember, when you know the truth, Jesus, then the truth will make you free. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. 3 John 1:2. The Doggone Truth podcast is a production of Aspen Bloom. All rights reserved and may not be resold or utilized in any way without express written permission by Aspen Bloom and Dr. Kim Bloomer. The information I share represents what I, an animal naturopath, have chosen to do to take charge of my own personal health and that of my family and pets. Information learned here is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not meant to diagnose, treat, or cure, but rather to encourage and empower you to make your own health care and dietary decisions and those of your pets based upon your own research in partnership with your health care providers when needed, but especially to depend on Jehovah Rapha, the healer.